CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. Gregory Copley's here to help me understand a vast part of Africa, the Horn of Africa, in particular Ethiopia, the once and future empire of Ethiopia, reuniting with Eritrea, a breakaway province, late 20th century, and also presenting what appears to be one of the largest populations, if not the largest population in Africa, 120 million people, on the Red Sea, with access to European markets, to Asian markets, all very positive, except I followed Gregory's reporting. The U.S. Biden administration has moved into open support for the Egyptian position, with the hope that Washington can regain influence over Cairo by supporting Egypt's claims that Ethiopia is somehow threatening the flow of the Blue Nile waters by its construction of the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam. Gregory, what you're describing is that the U.S. is picking sides. Why? What's in it for the U.S. to choose Cairo over a reuniting of Ethiopia, which would stabilize the Horn?
Well, it's very difficult to deny the global centrality and importance of the Suez Canal to world trade. And Western control of the Suez Canal, or Western influence over it, has always been of profound importance. So he who controls Cairo controls much of the world trade in one sense. The reality is, however, that Egypt, having now removed global powers, and I'm thinking of the British, and then, well, firstly the Ottomans, and then the British, and then the Soviets, and then the Americans, from this position of domination of Egyptian politics, Egypt is not about to go back to any of that. It doesn't need to, and it will not. I mean, President Sisi quite rightly says, look, we don't need to be the puppet of any power, and certainly not China either, by the way, which has been making entreaties there. So basically, whatever the, if you like, the antique playbook of the Foreign and Commonwealth Office in London or the State Department, they are not going to regain control or total influence over Cairo. They can get friendship from Cairo, they can work with it. However, they cannot in reality do so and have success in dominating global trade through the Red Sea and Suez Canal if they do not also make friends with the government of Ethiopia, because Ethiopia controls the lower Red Sea and will increasingly do so after the federation or confederation with Eritrea. So if the United States, for example, dominates or befriends Egypt but alienates Ethiopia, it can lose everything, because Ethiopia can also close the Suez Canal in a heartbeat. You only have to remember the 1984 issue where the Libyan mine layer Rat, at Gaddafi's insistence, dumped a few sea mines overboard to float in the Red Sea. As a result, the insurance companies would not insure traffic going through the Red Sea, and so nobody went through the Suez Canal. They went around the Cape of Good Hope. That basically bankrupted Egypt at that particular time. And we saw with the recent grounding of the huge container ship Ever Given in the Suez Canal that you can close the Suez Canal, and that has profound consequences for Egypt. And if you do it as the Israelis did in the 1973 war, the 67 war, you closed the Suez Canal for years, and that is disastrous for Egypt. So the reality is, what's good for Egypt and what's good for the United States and Britain and so on in the trading community is, look, get the Egyptians and the Ethiopians to come together. There are deals to be done. And the interesting thing is, in my conversations with senior Ethiopian officials, is that they are prepared to do deals to make the Egyptians happy and solve this problem. So there's no need for the United States to do as it has been doing, which is to side and take the Egyptian point of view, because the Egyptian argument on the Nile waters is actually an artificial one. It's a psychological one. They have to protest about losing Nile waters, when in reality a grand bargain could be made by arguably by a Sadat type figure or a Haile Selassie type figure to bring the two countries together once and for all to create a great common market of the Red Sea and Horn of Africa, which would, if you like, guarantee water usage for all the parties, Egypt, Sudan, and Ethiopia, would also guarantee security of the Red Sea and Suez Canal, but would create a local common market, which would almost certainly be supported by Saudi Arabia, Yemen, and the United Arab Emirates. So you would have this, and possibly by Egypt and Israel and Jordan. So you'd have this large regional economic zone, which would benefit everybody, including the global traders like the United States and the Europeans and the Asians. So this can be done. The question is, we see that the Ethiopians don't know what to make of the Americans or the Egyptians. They keep saying, look, we want to be friends with Egypt and the United States. We don't want we don't understand why the Americans are attacking us. Well, the Americans are attacking largely because they want to support Egypt. That's the first thing. And the second reason is the present State Department officials literally are remembering the alliance they had with the Tigray Popular Liberation Front, which is a Marxist rebel organization which gained control over Ethiopia in 1990. And the U.S. put lots of money into the TPLF government of Meles Zenawi, billions of dollars. They trained the TPLF's private militia. They gave U.S. citizenship to the TPLF leadership. And then when the TPLF, which was, as I say, an aggressive Marxist dictatorship, was involved in the massacre of many millions of Ethiopian people, but when the TPLF was thrown out in 2018, what we found was that the TPLF came running to their old friends in Washington, who are still supporting them today. So Secretary of State Antony Blinken, for example, is supporting the TPLF line that they are being aggrieved, that they've been attacked by the federal government, when the reverse is the truth. The TPLF, which is a very small group within Tigray, has been attacking Tigrayan people. It's been attacking Amhara people and Oromo people, basically trying to create a civil war. And so the Ethiopian government, quite rightly, has attempted to stop that insurrection, attempted to seize some of the money which was stolen by the TPLF and the weapons which the U.S. provided to the TPLF. So basically, the TPLF, with all these stolen billions, has been setting up massive information operations in Washington and London and the like, and basically encouraging the U.S. to say, well, the Ethiopian government's no good anyway, so you've got to oppose them. So the U.S. has got this view, well, A, we want to support Egypt. B, our old friends in the TPLF tell us that we have to oppose the government of Prime Minister Abiy. So the U.S. is being drawn down the wrong path in much the same way as it was drawn down the wrong path during the breakup of Yugoslavia after 1990.
Let me ask a single question, because we just have a minute, about powers in the region. China's and Djibouti, on the port of Djibouti, possibly a military commercial enterprise. Does China have a say in this? Does China want Ethiopia to stabilize? Has China indicated? We have about a minute, yes. Gregory.
Yes, China has both military and commercial maritime interest in Djibouti. They built the Djibouti Diridara Addis Ababa railway line recently, and they have been making entreaties within recent weeks to Ethiopia for Ethiopia to ally itself with China and forget about the United States. I can tell you that the Ethiopian officials absolutely do not want to do that. They have no interest whatsoever in rebuilding ties, which the communist predecessors did with China. So the Chinese are definitely in there trying to influence this situation.
The great game, Gregory, in the Horn of Africa. When the geopolitical powers show up, everybody pays attention. Gregory Copley, Defense and Foreign Affairs, CC to Djibouti. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashman.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Bashman.